Good morning. I'd like to ask you a question to start off with. And my question is this: have you ever been stood up on a date? Or has anyone ever forgotten your birthday or your anniversary? Somebody you love in your family, perhaps, your spouse, perhaps, your parents. How did that make you feel? See, I did that once. I did that to my son about 7 or 8 years ago. He's in his mid-20s. And I totally forgot his birthday. And every year since, he never lets me forget it. Every year, he reminds me about how his second cousin remembered his birthday and his own father forgot. See, it touched him. Now, let me ask you this. What would it be like if I forgot his birthday year after year after year after year? What would it be like? Picture, okay, you guys that are here. What if you forgot your wife's anniversary and her birthday in the same year, and you did it the next year, and 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 the next year? Pretty soon, she might start to feel like you don't really love her, that you're not really committed to her, that you're not really devoted to her like you're saying you do, because your actions aren't following your words. Well, unfortunately, this is exactly what I think we're doing to our Father in heaven. Because year after year after year, we are forgetting some very special days that he has asked us to remember. Days that he's asked us to remember for all generations, no matter where we live. And for lots of different reasons, perhaps, we've forgotten them. But today happens to be one of those days. Today is a day called Shavuot. Can you say that with me? Shavuot. Okay, a little better. Ready? One, two, three. Shavuot. Shavuot means weeks. It's a Hebrew word. It means weeks. And I want to talk to you today about Shavuot. And I also want to take some time before we get into that and just cover in general, what are these special days that we're asked to remember? And why are we asked to remember them? What's so important about them? Because there's a number of them. And they take us back to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23, we don't often read Leviticus, I know, but maybe we should, because there's some important stuff here. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version, and you can follow along up there. It might be a little bit different than your translation. But let's read the first couple verses. It says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel and say to them, these are the appointed feasts of the Lord that you shall proclaim as holy convocations. They are my appointed feasts." Now, at this point, I want to just take an aside for a minute or two and tell you something that I think is very important, something that maybe a lot of you haven't heard before. And that's that in your English Bibles, when it says the Lord, you'll notice that it's capitalized there. The capitalization means that it doesn't really say Lord in the original. The Lord is a translation of something much more special. Because really what's going on here is the Lord in capitals means that what is written is the very name of God himself. Did you know that God has a name? I mean, it's not God and it's not Lord. He has a name. My name is Wynn. And you can call me Mister if you want, but that's a title. Lord is a title. I prefer to be called Wynn. Now, our Father's name is spelled with four consonants, YHWH. That's what it says in the Hebrew. How do we pronounce that? We're not really sure, to be honest, because in Hebrew they didn't write vowels originally. They only wrote consonants. And so we're not really sure what vowels to stick in there and kind of how it works. But traditionally, typically, people would say the pronunciation is Yahweh. And that's typically what you heard. If you've ever heard his holy name pronounced, you would have probably heard this, Yahweh. I personally think there's another possibility that's maybe even more likely, more probable from looking at scriptures and other sources. I think maybe the better way to pronounce this is Yahuwah, Yahuwah. And there's good reasons for that, which we can talk about another time. But that's the word that I'm going to be using today, his holy name, Yahuwah. Now, why is that important? You might say, "Wynn, I've never heard of that before, and I don't really care. I'm just going to read the Lord because that's what it says." Well, actually, God says something different. And if you look in Exodus, when he first introduced himself to his people, You know, he said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel. Yahuwah, or Yahweh if you prefer, Yahuwah, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. And thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. So he, in his own word, asks his people to remember his name. And yet most of us don't. We're not aware of his name. We forgot his name. So anyway, I want to introduce that to you today. And I want to use his name because he asks us to. Because I think it's important to him. So back to Leviticus 23. Yahuwah spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel and say to them, these are the appointed feasts of Yahuwah. You shall proclaim them as holy convocations. They are my appointed feasts. Appointed feasts, he's going to be talking about. Well, what is that, appointed feasts? A feast brings to mind food, right? Well, there was some food at some of these remembrances, some of these special days, but not at all of them. So it's really not a good translation. Some of your translations might say appointed festivals. Well, festival is something, a festival brings to mind a fair, a carnival, a Mardi Gras. That's not what it was. Although there was great celebration during some of these days, but not all of them. At least one of these days was a day of fasting, a day of self-affliction, it says. So what are these appointed feasts? In Hebrew, the word is mo'adim. Mo'adim, simply one word for this, what we translate appointed feast or appointed festivals. And it means this. It means set time, an established time, an appointed time, an appointment, you could say. So really what he's talking about, he's saying, I am setting aside some times for you, times to remember, some appointed time, some appointments that I want to make with my people. And what are we supposed to do? He says, have a holy convocation. Well, what's a convocation? Some versions say assembly, a holy assembly, or a holy gathering. The point is, he wants his people to gather together on these special days for his special purposes. So that's what we're doing today. Today is one of those holy days, one of those special days, one of those appointed times, and we are gathered together as his people. Now, what can we learn about his holy days? What can we learn about these appointments, these special days, these special times of holy convocations? They're spelled out for us in Leviticus 23, and you might be surprised to know what the first one is. I'll show you. 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work. It is a Sabbath to Yahuwah in all your dwelling places. Interesting, isn't it? The very first appointed time, the very first appointment that he has with his people is on the seventh day of the week. Well, it's Saturday. And he says, we want you to gather together. I want you to gather together as a holy convocation and do no work on that day. Now, this command here in Scripture is actually tied back to the very day of the very week of creation itself. Back when our Father, Yahuwah, the creator of the universe, in 7 days created everything. You remember what he did on the seventh day? He rested. Genesis chapter 2. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from his work and all that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day, and he made it holy. He blessed the seventh day. Way back then, at the beginning of creation, he set the seventh day apart, and he blessed it, and he made it holy. And you know what? He asked his people to do the same thing. What did he say? Have a holy convocation. Gather together as a community and rest. Do no work, and do this in all your dwelling places. No matter where you live, I want you to live this way. That's what he said. So his first appointment with his people, his first appointment with us, is on the seventh day of the week. I'd love to talk to you more about that, but that will have to take place another time because I don't have that much time, and I took too much time in the first service. So I got to hurry along here. The first appointment, then, is this weekly appointment of the Sabbath. The rest of the chapter, the rest of Leviticus 23, talks about his seven annual appointments, seven special times that he sets aside and he asks us to remember. Today is one of those times. But I'm going to just briefly, very briefly, talk about each one of those. And we could spend a whole day talking about each one because they are so rich with meaning. The first one, perhaps you're familiar with, Passover. These are the appointed feasts of Yahuwah, the holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at the appointed time for them. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at twilight, is Yahuwah's Passover. Now, if you were here at Epic a couple months ago, perhaps you came to our Passover celebration together that night here in this very room. We celebrated Passover. And if you did, you know what that means. You know what that's all about. It goes back to the time of the Exodus, back to the time when the people of Israel were in Egypt, and they were slaves under Pharaoh, the most powerful man on earth. And Moses, the head of this class of slaves, goes up to the Pharaoh and asks him to let their people go. And then, if you remember, there were a series of plagues, 10 of them, one after another, came to try and convince Pharaoh to let the people go. And the final and the last most devastating plague of all was the death of the firstborn. And on that night, midnight, when the destroyer was to come and kill the firstborn in all the households, he passed over certain houses. He passed over the houses of those people of the Father, those people of Yahuwah who had faith in him, who were obedient enough to take a lamb and sacrifice it and put the blood of that lamb on the doorpost of their house. And if they did that, their faith and their obedience saved their firstborn. And the angel, the destroyer, passed over their household and delivered them. And interestingly enough, on this very day of Passover, 1,500 years later, more or less, something else happened. The Messiah, Jesus, Yeshua is his name in Hebrew, Yeshua died, was crucified on Passover day. And he was hung on that cross on Passover day. And those of us that have faith to believe that his blood cleanses us from our sins, saves us from death that we deserve. It's reminiscent, isn't it? It's reminiscent of that Passover day when the blood of the Lamb was put on the doorpost and they were saved. His blood, the blood of Messiah, the blood of Yeshua, now saves us. And that took place on Passover on that very same day. So you get a feel for why we're supposed to remember these special days. The first one was pretty important. Well, they're all pretty important. The first one, perhaps, is the most famous, the most well-remembered by people. But the next one, and the next, and the next, and the next, are every bit as significant. So what happens? The day after Passover is another appointed time. The day after Passover, on the 15th day of the same month, is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to Yahuwah. For 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall hold a holy convocation, you shall not do any ordinary work. So, maybe you've never heard of unleavened bread, but on the day after Passover, we're to start celebrating unleavened bread for 1 week. Now, why? What was the point of that? If you remember, this all goes back to the time of Egypt and the people of Israel being slaves in Egypt and being freed from their slavery, delivered from their slavery. If you remember, they were in a hurry to get out of there. The firstborn was killed. There was screaming and wailing throughout the land. And Pharaoh said, "Get out of my sight." And so they left quickly. They took provisions with them. They made bread, but they didn't have time to let the bread raise. So they didn't add leaven to it. So they left with unleavened bread. And so they left Israel. They left Egypt in a hurry. They walked as quickly as they could to the Red Sea. And if you remember what happened, they came to the Red Sea and the Red Sea was parted. And they walked through the walls of water. Can you imagine that? Huge walls of water as the Red Sea is parted, and they're walking through what seemed like certain death to them. They walk through the valley of death to emerge into new life on the other side. And unleavened bread remembers that time. So during this Feast of Unleavened Bread, we remember the fact that our spiritual ancestors, the people of Israel, were delivered from slavery. They took with them unleavened bread. They hurried out of that country, and they walked through certain death into new life. And interestingly enough, the same thing happened 1,500 years or so later with the Messiah, with Yeshua. Remember, he was crucified on Passover, and the next day, what happened? He was buried. He was in the tomb. He spent the first day of unleavened bread as his first full day in the tomb. Death. He didn't just experience walking through the valley of death. He experienced death itself. And of course, 3 days later, he would emerge into new life again. The life, the body of Messiah, we say, is he's the bread of life, right? His body broken for us, we say every time we take communion. His body represented by unleavened bread. He says, I am the bread of life. And his body was broken for us. And he was buried in that tomb. And he spent 3 days in death before he was raised. We remember all of this when we remember unleavened bread. That's why we're told to keep this day, set it apart. Now, something very exciting happens here. You know, this unleavened bread is 7 days long, right? So in any 7 day period, there's a Sabbath day. And something special happens on the day after the Sabbath during the week of unleavened bread. It's called first fruits. Leviticus 23, verse 9. And Yahuwah spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land that I give you and reap its harvest, you shall bring the sheaf of first fruits of your harvest to the priest, and he shall wave that sheaf before Yahuwah so that you may be accepted. Interesting, so that you may be accepted. And on the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. So here you have, talking about the week of unleavened bread here, and on the day after the Sabbath, you were to bring the first fruits of your harvest. In that time, it would have been barley. So they would have cut the first sheaves of barley from the field. They would have brought it to the priest, and the priest would have lifted it up. A wave offering means to lift up. They would have lifted it up before him as an offering, thanking him for the harvest. And then it says they would be accepted before the Father. Interesting, isn't it, that they did this year after year, thinking this is just a way of saying thank you for the harvest to their Father. Thank you, we're giving you the first fruits of the harvest. But then something else happened 1,500 years later on this very day. What was it? Remember, when the Messiah was crucified on Passover and he was in the tomb during unleavened bread, and then what happened on the day after the Sabbath, which is a Sunday of that week? Resurrection, right? The Messiah was resurrected on the day of first fruits, on the first day after the Sabbath. Interesting. In fact, now when you read what Paul writes, it makes sense. Paul says to the Corinthians, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Why does he call him the first fruits? Because that's what he was. He was raised on the first fruits. On the day of first fruits, he was lifted up as the offering to the Father, as the first fruits of the harvest. We're going to be the second fruits of the harvest, but he was the first fruits of the harvest. And on first fruits, on the day of first fruits, on the day we are told to keep and remember for all time, the Messiah was resurrected. We call that Resurrection Day, but Scripture has another name for it. Scripture calls it first fruits. And for good reason. So, these first three appointed times that we've talked about, they all take place in the spring. Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits. And they all, interestingly enough, they all relate primarily to, or symbolize primarily, the first coming of the Messiah. Now, there's a second set of three appointed times that take place in the fall. And these fall appointed times all primarily relate to the second coming of the Messiah. And I don't have time to read the scriptures and talk about them now, but I'm just going to briefly mention them. They're things that you can study on your own, and hopefully we'll have a chance to talk more about them in the future. The first one is the Day of Trumpets. And the Day of Trumpets, you know, trumpets, the trumpet, the shofar was blown every time the people were to gather together. Moses would blow the shofar, and the people would gather together to listen. The priest would blow the shofar, and the people would gather together at a time of sacrifice. Or the king would blow the shofar, and the people would gather together to go off to war. Well, the second coming, Scripture says the trumpet will sound, and he will return. The trumpet will sound, and the Messiah will come. It represents the gathering of his people. We don't know the time or place or when or where or how that's going to happen, but I have a pretty strong feeling that it's going to be happening in conjunction with the Day of Trumpets. And the second appointed time in the fall is the Day of Atonement. And this represents Judgment Day. It's that day when all of us, all of creation, will stand before his presence and will face judgment for our sins. And all of those whose names are not written in the book of life will be sentenced to eternal hell, eternal damnation, eternal separation from God. But those of us who have had the faith to know that what Messiah did when he died on that cross, when he shed his blood for us, faith to know, just like the people of Israel would put the blood on the doorpost, and the sheaf of offering of the barley was raised as first fruits, and they were accepted. Those of us that have the faith in Messiah will be accepted, will be seen as sinless, seen as guiltless, seen as righteous on Judgment Day, and we will escape that judgment. That's what the Day of Atonement is all about, a day of fasting. And last, the last appointed time in the fall is the festival, the Feast of Tabernacles, and this is a celebration time. 7 days of celebration, and we celebrate during that period the very presence of God living among us. It represents his millennial reign when he comes and establishes his kingdom here on this earth, and we rule with him. A tabernacle is a shelter, a booth, all these things, they go back to previous times as well. This goes back to the time of Exodus when the people left and they lived in shelters under the open skies. And they remember that time of God's presence living among them as they traveled in the promised land. But there was more to it. There's so much more to all of these appointed times. So you can see why, you're beginning to see why we're told this is a statute forever. Remember this. In all your dwelling places, wherever you live, for all generations, for all time, 4 times in Leviticus 23 alone, we have a verse like this that occurs. Why? Because these appointed times are climactic times in the scheme of the entire universe. What the Messiah did on the cross, his burial, his death, his resurrection, changes everything. They were part of God's plan from the beginning. What he will do when he comes back and regathers his people. What happens at Judgment Day when we're forgiven. What happens when he sets up his kingdom here on this earth. All of these things. These are the most important days of all the universe since creation itself. So you see why they're important? You see why we're supposed to remember them? You see why these are not just Jewish holidays? They're appointed times of Yahuwah, it says. They're his days. They're timeless. And we're asked to remember them. So there are 3 spring appointed times that have to do with his first coming. There are 3 fall appointed times that have to do with his second coming, primarily. And there's 1 in the middle. And I say that for the last because that is today. Shavuot. The festival, the time, the day of weeks, it's called. Now, what are we supposed to know about Shavuot? Well, this is what we're told. We're simply told when it is. And if we read Leviticus, this is what we find out. You shall count 7 full weeks from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering. Okay, so where are we at? Remember, the first fruits on the day after the Sabbath, we bring the offering of barley up first fruits, which represented resurrection day. So from that day, he says, you shall count 7 weeks. Count 7 weeks from that day, from the day you brought the sheaf of the wave offering. You shall count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. So you might say, when? Wait a second. 7 weeks, 49 days, not 50. God made a mistake. Well, that's not the way they counted in those days. Typically, they would count the first day as day one. So if I say a week from today, I could say that's 8 days from now because I'm counting today as number one. So 7 weeks from today, exactly 7 weeks from today, could be considered to be 50 days if you count today as day one. And that's exactly what we have going on here. So 7 weeks from first fruits, 7 weeks from what was resurrection day is Shavuot. 50 days exactly. And 7 weeks ago today, right here at Epic, we celebrated Resurrection Day, first fruits. So you shall count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. You shall present a grain offering of new grain to Yahuwah. You shall hold a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work. It is a statute forever in all your dwelling places throughout all your generations. In other words, wherever you live, for all time, remember today. So, what happened today? Why is it so important? What is going on that we should remember today? Well, Scripture does not tell us. So, that leaves us in a bit of a quandary. Well, the rabbis of old, as they studied these Scriptures, they said, you know, if we're supposed to set this day apart, there must be a good reason for it. So, we're going to find out. Let's look for some clues in Scripture. And so they did. They looked for clues in Scripture, and they came to a conclusion. They said, on this day, on Shavuot, the Torah was given. The Ten Commandments, the Ten Words were given. On this day, Shavuot, our Father spoke to us, His people, for the very first time ever. That's tradition. Now, is it true? Well, we don't know for sure. But in the next couple minutes, I'd like to tell you why I think it probably is true. Again, it all goes back to Exodus. It all goes back to when the people left Egypt. It seems like so many of these appointed times all refer back to that period. So remember, there was the Passover. They walked through the Red Sea. They emerged a new life on the other side. And then they walked for a period of time, a period of weeks. They walked until they came to where? Mount Sinai. And why? Because Mount Sinai is where God first spoke to Moses and said, Moses, I want you to go back and tell Pharaoh, set my people free. And he said, when you do that, I want you to come right back here to Mount Sinai and meet me here. And so that's what they did. They walked through the Red Sea, and they started going straight to Mount Sinai. So we're told when this happens in Exodus chapter 19. On the third new moon, after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. On the third new moon. Now, you know, according to the Hebrew calendar, every month started on the new moon. So on the third new moon, on that very day, would have been the first day of the third month. So in that year of the Exodus, in that year when they left, in the third month, on that very day of the new moon, they arrived at Mount Sinai. So I wish I had time to read the whole chapter and go in more detail here, but I don't. So I'm going to summarize it for you very quickly. Chronologically, what happens? On the first day, day one, they arrive at Sinai. Then what happens? If you read the book, if you read the chapter, it says Moses goes up on top of the mountain like he's commanded to do. So second day, probably, Moses goes up the mountain. He listens to the words of God. God says to him, I want to make a covenant with my people. I want you to go down and tell them I want to make a covenant to them. I want them to obey me in everything I say. And if they do, I will take care of them. I will make them my people. So Moses goes back down and he tells that to the people. And the people say, sure, that sounds good. Now, how long did all that take? Well, we don't know for sure what mountain that was. But this is the picture of the traditional Mount Sinai. You can see it's a pretty big mountain. In fact, Carol and I had the opportunity to climb up that mountain, and it took at least 6 hours to hike up there and walking as fast as we could. So you got 6 hours to the top of Mount Sinai. Now, you listen to what God has to say up there. I don't know how long that took. Did it take a couple hours? Did it take a couple days? I don't know. But anyway, God spoke to Moses, and then he goes back down the mountain another couple hours. My point is, this was all day at least. Moses just didn't run up and down the mountain in an hour. And I don't know if this is the exact mountain or not. There's other possibilities, but they're all big mountains. So wherever it was, I'm guessing it took a day to go up and down that mountain. So assume that on day two, he goes up and down the mountain. He tells the people, people, God says, obey my commands and I'll make you my people. I'll take care of you. They say, okay, we'll obey. So Moses goes up the mountain next day. And he says, God, people say, I will obey. We'll obey you. And so God says, okay, I'm going to speak to my people. I'm going to give them my commands. I'm going to tell them some very important things together, but they need to prepare. They need to prepare themselves. So for 3 days, prepare. So Moses goes back to the mountain and he says, prepare. Today's the first day. I want you to start preparing. So they do. Day four of month three is the second day of preparation. Day five, the third day of preparation, Moses goes back up the mountain and says, okay, God, it's day three. We've prepared. Speak. And God says, wait a second. I want you to go back down the mountain again. And I want you to tell the people, I'm serious. You guys stay back away from the mountain. Don't come too close or you will die. This is serious business. I am going to speak and it's going to be scary. Basically what he's saying. So Moses does that. He goes back down the mountain again. He tells the people, stay back. This is serious business here. And then on day six, probably, Moses, this time with Aaron, goes back up to the mountain. And now finally, God speaks to them. Now, did he speak on that same day? Or was it day seven? I don't know. I'm not sure. But the point is, it probably wasn't any sooner than day six. So, what am I getting at? Why do I go through all this? Well, day six of month three. Let me show you a chart here. Put this in perspective. You got 3 months. Month three, day six. Day one, they arrive at Sinai. Day six, at the earliest, the Father speaks to all the people for the very first time. Now, how does this relate to Shavuot? How does this relate to the appointed times? Let me put on this chart the Passover. Passover on the 14th day of the first month. And the next day begins unleavened bread for a whole week. So I've got that blocked out. Now, sometime during that week falls a Sabbath day. And the day after that Sabbath is the day of first fruits. So when exactly was the Sabbath during that week of the time of the Exodus? We don't know for sure. It could have been any one of those 7 days. But just say, for example, by coincidence, it happened to be 3 days after the Passover. Why do I say that? Because during the time of Messiah, and it seemed like so far everything we've talked about relates back to the time of Messiah's death and resurrection. So let's just say it was 3 days, because we know that Messiah was dead for 3 days. He was in the tomb for 3 days before he was raised. So if he was crucified on the 14th, 3 days later would have been the 17th. So first fruits, Resurrection Sunday, on the 17th day of the first month during that year. So let's just say that was what it was and see where we end up. Now let's count 7 weeks. 7 weeks from first fruits on the 17th, exactly 50 days, takes me right smack dab to day six of month three. Is that a coincidence? Or is that God? When I first did this calculation and I worked through it all, it's like I stood back and my mouth kind of just dropped open. I'm like, wow. This is incredible. I mean, the rabbis were right. Today, Shavuot, is the day when our Father spoke to us, to his people, for the very first time. And what would he say? If you remember, there was thunder, and there was lightning, and there was fire, and there was the earth was shaking, and there were sounds like trumpet blasts, shaking everything up. Smoke and wind. And in the midst of all that, our Father spoke for the very first time to all his people. I mean, he had spoken to Abraham before. He had spoken to Isaac. He had spoken to Jacob. He had spoken to Moses. But those were speakings to individuals. And now, for the first time ever, he speaks to all his people at once. What would he say? What is so important that he would say? It's recorded for us in Exodus chapter 20. I am Yahuwah, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not take the name of Yahuwah, your God, in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to Yahuwah, your God. On it you shall not do any work. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And you shall not covet. These, we call them the Ten Commandments. In Scripture, Scripture just calls them the Ten Words, literally, the Ten Words. These were the Ten Words. The Ten, what I would say, must be the Ten most important things for our Father to say to his people. At the very beginning, the first thing he communicates, these Ten things. And that was on today. Today, we celebrate that. And what was the response of the people? Now when the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and they trembled and they stood far off. And Yahuwah said to Moses, you have seen for yourselves that I have talked with you from heaven. And let that sink in. He, the creator of the universe, talked to his people from heaven. He spoke to them. Today marks that day. This is why we celebrate Shavuot. He speaks to his people. You know, his word, his Torah, his instructions for life, what are they? We say his word is God-breathed, don't we? His breath. He breathes his words when he speaks, just like we do. God-breathed. It's the essence of who he is. It is him. He shared who he is with us on today. This is more than a book, isn't it? This is his word. It's your most valuable possession. It's worth more than your car, more than your TV, more than any of your junk. This contains the very words of God. And we read some of them, perhaps his most important ones just now. So every year, the people would gather together on Shavuot. Every year they would gather as they were commanded, as they were instructed, and they would read Leviticus chapter 23. And then they would read Exodus 19 and 20 about the deliverance from Egypt and what happened on those days. And they would also read Ezekiel chapter 1. Why? Because Ezekiel chapter 1, let me show you why. Ezekiel chapter 1 is about a vision that Ezekiel had when he says, I saw the heavens opened and I saw visions of God. So, okay, you might say, so what? Well, let me tell you what he saw and then I think you'll connect the dots. He says he saw a stormy wind come out of the north, a great cloud, fire flashing. He saw burning coals of fire, like torches moving to and fro. The fire was bright, and out of the fire came forth lightning. And he heard strange sounds, voices, it actually says in Hebrew, like the sound of the Almighty himself, like the sound of an army coming. Did these things sound familiar? Wind, smoke, fire, lightning. Just like before. And then God says to Ezekiel, son of man, stand on your feet and I will speak to you. And he spoke to me and the Spirit entered into me. And he set me on my feet and I heard him speaking to me. God spoke to Ezekiel in a very similar way that he spoke to the people when he gave him his 10 words, when he breathed life to them through his word. You know, the Spirit, you know what the word for Spirit is in Hebrew? It's ruach. Ruach means wind or breath, you could say. The Spirit and the Word are intimately connected. Both of them, God breathed. He breathes His Word to us. His Spirit is His breath to us. You cannot separate the Spirit and His Word. So is it any wonder that These are connected. So every year, the people would gather together on Shavuot, and they would read Exodus 19 and 20 about the thunder and the lightning and the storm and the clouds and the smoke and the earth quaking. And then they would read Ezekiel chapter 1, and they would read about the fire and the and the storm and the wind and the clouds and the smoke and the lightning. And then they would celebrate his spirit and his word. Every year they would do this. And we have record of one such year. Record of one such year in Acts chapter 2. Let me read that to you. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Now, Jeremy mentioned Pentecost earlier today. It's because Pentecost and Shavuot are the same day. It's the same thing. Why? Pentecost comes from the Greek, Pentecoste, which means 50th, because they were counting 50 days from first fruits to Shavuot. Well, Shavuot is Hebrew, meaning weeks, because they were counting 7 weeks from first fruits, from resurrection to Shavuot. So it's the same thing. So now what happens on Shavuot? They just got through reading about all this stuff. They got through reading about the thunder and the lightning and the quaking of the earth and the smoke and the fire and the voices and the sounds. And it says, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. They think, we've heard that before. We just read about this. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. This would have been the temple. The temple was referred to as the house. They filled the entire house where they were sitting. And then it appeared to them divided tongues of fire resting on each one of them. They say, we just read about all this. This is what happened to Ezekiel too. And then it goes on. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And again, Ezekiel was filled with the Holy Spirit. This is all happening. Again, it's happening to us today on the very same day it happened before, on Shavuot, on Pentecost. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So do you see why we're told to remember Shavuot? His word, his Spirit given to us. You see why we're told to remember these appointed times? Even when we don't quite understand them all, what we do understand is powerful enough. Incredible, life-changing things happened on these very days, and they will continue to happen. These appointed times in the fall that have not yet been fulfilled, amazing things will happen. You know, I'm saddened by the fact that we don't remember these days, and I believe our Father is too. The truth is, until a few years ago, I did not remember these days. I did not even know they existed. I mean, how many of you have heard about Shavuot before? If it was even a glitch on your radar, I'm not sure you understood what it was. And those of us that knew about Pentecost, what do we think? It was the birthday of the church or something about the Holy Spirit comes. But we have no idea that the people of God were asked to remember Shavuot since the day they left Egypt. For a very good reason. Important things were going to happen. This didn't just mark the giving of his word, but it was also to symbolize the giving of his Spirit. The essence of himself, his Spirit and his word cannot be separated. They're intimately connected. And if you remember, the Spirit was given to write the law on our hearts. No longer was the law to be written on tablets of stone. Now the Spirit was to write it on our tab on hearts of flesh. That's powerful. You know, I want to celebrate today. I want to celebrate his word. I want to celebrate Shavuot. I want to celebrate his Spirit. So, next steps. How do we apply what we've heard? I know that a lot of this is new. Somebody from the first service said, I never heard any of that before. I said, really? She said, it really causes me to think. I hope it does. I hope it does. It caused me to think. Where do we go from here? What are the next steps for today? I'd like to invite you to change your plans for today. I'd like you to make today a day of rest. You know, you say, Wynn, I'm pretty busy today. I've got a lot of big plans Sunday afternoon. I got a lot of stuff going on, things I need to get done this weekend yet. Well, let me ask you a question. If God himself spoke to you and said, I want you to change your plans today, would you do it for him? Because I think that's exactly what he said. So, will you do that? And as you do it, what will you do? How about if we celebrate his word? How about if we celebrate this gift right here, this breath of God himself, the essence of Yahuwah? Can you celebrate his word and celebrate his spirit? Read it. Spend some time in it. Thank him for it. He spoke to us. Do you know how precious that is, how valuable that is? He spoke to us. I'd also like to encourage you to make plans, starting now, to keep his appointed times. His weekly Sabbath, his 7 appointed times annually. Let's not let one more year go by where we forget to keep them, his special days. Let's not let one more week go by. Let's not let today go by. Let's remember what he's asked us to do. Some of you might be sitting here thinking, Wynn, you've been talking about hearing the voice of Yahuwah, hearing the voice of God. I've never really heard his voice. And actually, I'm not even sure I'm one of his people. Well, that can change right now, today. All you need to do is change your direction. You need to stop walking down your own path and begin walking down his path. And I'd encourage you to pray. You can pray right in your seat. You can go into the prayer room over here, room 208. You can pray with someone. You can pray alone. Commit your life to the Father. Promise him you want to change from your path and walk on his path. Wherever that is, wherever that leads, you don't even know that now, do you? None of us do, to be honest. The choice is yours. The prayer room is open for any of us. If you have felt the Father speaking to you today, if you would like to communicate to him, please, during our songs, at any time, just slip out of your seat and go into room 208 and pray. You can pray with someone there. You can pray alone. Also, as we close the service, there are some communion stations located over here in the corners of the room, 4 corners. You're welcome to go to these communion stations, and there you will find some unleavened bread. You take the unleavened bread, and you dip it in the cup. And as you do so, you remember what he has done, and you proclaim what he will do. You know, these are the festivals all wrapped up in one. These are the appointed times all together. I mean, the crucifixion, the burial, the death, the resurrection, his return, his second coming, our reigning with him. I mean, it's all of these appointed times that we've just talked about all wrapped up into one. That's what you proclaim when you celebrate communion. When you take that unleavened bread, his body, and you dip it into that cup, his blood, and you partake and remember what he's done. Lastly, I would encourage you, if the Father has been speaking to you in any way, write that down. Note that on the back of your connection card. Let the leadership here at Epic know what you've been convicted about, the decisions you'd like to make or you have made, or prayer requests that you'd like them to know about. They will pray for you. They will support you. They will encourage you. They will walk alongside with you. So jot a note. If the Father's been speaking to you about anything during this service, write it down. Let them know. Let the leadership here know. If you would, stand with me now and let's close in prayer. Our Father, we are so thankful to you for your word. Your word, the breath of you, yourself, who you are, the essence of you, your spirit has been given to us on this day, on this very day. And you've asked us to remember this day and keep it, set it aside from all others that we might celebrate who you are, the gift of your word, the gift of your spirit. Father, accept our celebration today. We are meeting with you today on your appointed time. We are here today because you ask us to. And we are here remembering, some for the very first time, what you have called us to remember, what you have set aside as your statute forever, for all generations, in all our dwelling places. we're here right now where we live today in our generation, giving ourselves to you, thanking you for you, thanking you for your word, thanking you for who you are, thanking you that we can remember you, Yahuwah, the creator of the universe. And it's in the name of your son, Yeshua, that we pray and come before you now. Amen.